is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance on the Pioneers and Pathbreakers channel. I'm delighted today to be talking to Julie Molloy in Princeton, where she is at the moment, who's one of the pioneers in art and technology since the mid-1960s. So, Julie, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got yourself into all this trouble.
How I got myself into this trouble? I'm essentially a pioneer in literary electronic literature. My background stretches way back into emerging from Middlebury College with a degree in literature and a minor concentration in art, and looking around for work and ending up at the Library of Congress, working on the Union Catalog.
Amazing. Sounds boring.
It was boring. It was boring, but an entirely different world. There's this huge room. It was in the Naval Annex building in Washington, D.C., not in the Library of Congress building. I was a searcher editor, and we rolled around on the chairs and pulled out cards as they were asked for by, I think, people who were questioning entries or wanted to confirm entries. We edited the entries. I came away from that knowing how to catalog, understanding large systems, realizing the need, I think very important, realizing the need for computerizing large systems.
Yeah, but conceptually, more interestingly maybe, is this work with card catalogs actually then infected your writing practice.
It absolutely did.
And you started using index cards and card catalogs as a literary device. Can you explain that a bit?
Sure. With the background in visual arts and literature, I brought the two together when I became familiar with the artist book movement, and with particularly with experimental artist books.
But interestingly, you know, that early work with card catalogs basically put you sort of in the whole frame of mind that led to hypertext later?
That's correct.
So you got really interested in actually how these things were connected together.
Yes, yes. And I had experience after working with the Library of Congress. I didn't stay there long. I think you pinpointed why. I went into technical libraries. I went to work for Electromagnetic Research Corporation in College Park. Then I went to work as a contract cataloger for the Goddard Space System. And then...
Just a parenthesis, it's fascinating because, as you know, in my NASA career, I worked a lot with the Goddard Space Flight Center, was there frequently, but not till the late 1970s. So we probably didn't cross paths. Yeah, and in fact, I think you mentioned to me that it was at Goddard that you started first using computers in the cataloging work.
I was hired by J. Walter Thompson Company and not Goddard Space Center. They had a contract to produce the records for the new, this was 1967 or so, the new automated computerized catalog at Goddard. But we never saw that. We weren't on premises. When I was finished doing the catalog, and sometimes I key punched the cards myself, sometimes someone else did it, the cards were taken and put in a slot.
Uh-huh.
But somehow, I used to think the slot went directly to Goddard Space Center, but when I looked at the map recently, I thought, you know, I don't think so. It probably went down to a bread truck or something like that. So some of my career that I never talk about did, you know, cross areas that were in your career, I think.
So computers entered your professional life. So when did you first start, you know, figuring out how to use these systems in your literary practice and your artistic practice?
Well, we skipped the fact that I had to learn Fortran and systems analysis in order to program the...
As I did.
Ball Brothers Research Corporation Library, which is important because I knew how to do it. And not only did I know how to do it, I knew how to do it, this was 1969, from a time when nobody told you how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think this is very core, because I wasn't able to integrate that into my work with computers quite a long time because I didn't have the access.
Well, the home PC didn't exist yet.
No, the PC didn't exist yet, and it took a while for that to filter down. I didn't have the access, so I was creating handmade card catalogs that were meant to be read non-sequentially.
Yeah.
So by the time 1986 rolled around and Carl Loeffler started our Common Electronic Network, I had two skills. I had the skill of working with Lexia, we call the basic unit of the hypertext, a Lexia or a node, of working with Lexias and nodes with card catalogs, because essentially, so most people came from Ted Nelson Hypertext School.
Yep.
I come from that, and I always like to make the point that the librarians who developed early computerized systems really preceded Nelson.
Yep.
Well, Nelson put the creative touch onto it.
Yep.
But essentially, they were developing, the systems they were developing were hypertext by a different name.
One of your early works was Dear Roger, is that right?
Uncle Roger. And by the way, I did not know you then.
Right. What year was Uncle Roger?
Uncle Roger began in 1986.
Amazing.
At that
time, why don't you just describe that work?
I was familiar because I had a teenage son with interactive fiction.
Yeah.
And I had been reading interactive fiction and was looking at the structures. Interactive fiction was more, at that time, game-oriented. I think contemporary interactive fiction is very interesting, and actually was interesting then, but it wasn't literary.
Yeah.
So I'm coming out of looking at how we can create narrative in a more literary way than interactive fiction did. Also, how can we bring women more clearly into computer mediated narrative, which was what we might call it then? How could we tell stories differently from the interactive fiction form? I knew how to access data, how to put data into a database, how to access data. I knew how to do that without application software.
Yeah.
So I wasn't fazed by the fact that I was going to be putting this online with our common electronic network. So, to go back to your question, for which
actually, before we do that, you mentioned the name of Carl Loeffler, who was a dear friend of ours.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say a few words about Carl?
Great, I'd love to talk about Carl. I have to thank Carl for the change in my work, which was very important to, you know, how my life changed to a certain extent. I was, for a long time, not unknown in the art world, and was doing performance work that was based on narrative. I was doing installation work. I was doing artist books. And I met Carl actually in 1976 when he was advertising for a job, which later was filled by Nancy Frank,
yep,
which I applied for, but I did not have the skills for. But the association continued, and he funded a work that I did with a colleague that put video and card catalogs with images on them in the San Francisco Public Library.
Uh-huh.
And from there, I worked off and on with Carl, doing performance work in some of his performance series. Carl was visionary in so many ways. I mean, he thought we could bring a more popular audience to alternative art.
And, you know, and in later years, he even got involved in digital mapping of buildings and reconstructing virtual...
Right, he went to work for CMU and in virtual reality.
Yeah.
In things that are coming back now, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Virtual reality at that time was kind of off in a space by itself.
Yeah.
But to backtrack a bit, before Carl...
Okay. Judy, we have about 3 minutes left.
Okay, we're not going to get very far on this.
The system is going to cut me off.
Yeah.
So let's finish with a last thought, and then we'll promise our listeners that there'll be a future one.
All right.
Okay, go ahead. Final thought.
Last thought. Okay. I'd like to return to electronic literature, how exciting it was at that time to start working. Uncle Roger was a work created in three files. I used what I knew. I was familiar with the semiconductor industry because my ex-husband had actually headed a plant for Fairchild. And
yep.
So I was familiar with the semiconductor industry, and I wrote a narrative that was based on database structures. You could call it hypertextual since you're following links through the work. It was in three parts. There was a female narrator. I was just blown away when I started doing this. What can be done with computers and words? So much so that while many people were starting to move into images, I somewhat abandoned images in my work just because I saw how powerful a manipulation of words is on computer systems.
Okay, Judy, we're going to have to wrap. No, but what's fascinating is just listening to the passion with which you're talking about that period and how you really felt in control of the medium, right? You were pushing in the directions you were interested in. And let me tell you, you were not a slave of the technology.
And I think that's important. I mean, I like to tell students that we're in a field of fluctuating authoring systems. And the most important thing you can do is to work with your own systems to be in control of technology, even if you're using an application software, to be writing down what you're doing, to understand the algorithms with which you create your work, and to not look at application software as something that you cannot override.
Okay, Judy, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Thank you so much, and this is clearly the beginning of a longer conversation.
Great.